Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, there are a lot of Christians who profess to be Christians in the world. However, how can they all be Christians? Now, there are even politicians who say they're Christians, but they never act like it. So how can they be Christians? There are those who are born into a church and baptized as infants, and now they belong to the Roman Catholic Church. And they all believe they're Christian. And one man, just to test out whether they were Christian or not, asked a Roman Catholic, said, "Are you Christian?" Said, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." "Do you go to church?" "Well, no, not very often. Maybe Christmas or Easter." "Do you read the Bible?" "Oh, no, I don't ever read the Bible." And then he said, "How can you be a Christian if you don't know the words of Christ?" Now, what does Christian really mean? It means one who follows Christ. And we find in Acts 11 that brethren were first called Christian in Antioch. And it seems as though that almost everyone just completely forgets to read the words of Christ where he said, "Beware of false prophets." And in the end time, he said, there will be a multitude of false prophets come along and give signs and give wonders in order to deceive the very elect. Question: do you know the truth of the Word of God? Do you consider yourself a Christian? Well, let's look at some statistics and let's look at it how the world views Christians today. And then we will look and see how God views it. Here's an interesting aggregate of numbers. According to a Christian number crunching report, there will be by mid-2011 2,306,609,000 Christians of all kinds, representing 33% of the world's population. Isn't that interesting? Now, here's how it breaks down. Of those 2.3 billion Christians, some 1.5 billion are regular church attendees who worship in 5,171,000 congregations or worship centers, up from 400,000 in 1900 and 3.5 million in 2000. Isn't that interesting? Question: if you go to a church, what do they teach you? What is the topic? Question: if you go to church, do you know what the Ten Commandments are? Can you recite them by heart? Long version. Do you know what Jesus taught? Do you follow it? What do you hear from the pulpit? Well, I don't know, because I haven't gone there. I've had people tell me what to hear, and a lot of it is just plain blither. Now, we've got a book, "Lord, What Should I Do?" Now, you need that book because that will tell you what's going on in the Christian world today. And let me tell you something, it is falling apart. And that's why we have Church at Home. Because as you will see as I read some more numbers from this report, that there are so many varieties of Christians and denominations. If you don't believe it, just open your phone book and look at the churches that are listed and ask the question, how can they all be right? And if they're not all right, why are so many wrong? And by what standard do you determine that a church is really a church of God? Well, we'll cover all of that. Because this is important information for you to understand. Because today, we're living in the end time. And I'm here to tell you that the first thing you need to do to get your priorities right, if you think that yourself as a Christian, and if you want to be a true Christian, you've got to start at home. That's why church at home. Most of the churches of the world, and most people are used to going to church. If you're going to get religion, got to go to church. Okay, what are you going to do at church? What's the purpose of the church? Well, we'll cover that at a later day. First of all, we've got to find out who is really a true Christian. And you need to answer the question, if you believe that you are a true Christian, like this Catholic who never read the Bible, who goes to church twice a year, and he thinks he's a Christian in good standing with God, and that when he dies, his soul is going to go, whoop, right up to heaven. Did you know that if you believe that your soul goes to heaven when you die, that's a false belief? Well, how can that be? There are so many people in the world who believe it. Well, all religions in the world believe some sort of going to heaven or going to hell or purgatory or reincarnation. But if they would read the Bible, they would know that the dead are dead and they know nothing. And the Bible says they're resting in the grave, waiting the resurrection. So the next time you go to a funeral, sit there and listen to what the preacher has to say. And if he says, Uncle George is in heaven right now, you know that's not true. Yet they claim to be Christian. Let's read and see how it's all broken down. These 2.3 billion Christians are divided into six ecclesiastical megablocks. Isn't that interesting? Six. Because the Bible shows the number of man is six. So here are the numbers. 1.16 billion Catholics, 426 million Protestants, 271 million Orthodox, 87,500,000 Anglicans, 378,000 Independents. Now, notice how the Independents are described. Those separated from or unaffiliated with historical denominational Christianity. Really? Have you ever seen the majority right? Stop and think about it a minute. Now, finally, there are 35 million marginal Christians, those professing off-brand Trinitarian theology, dubious Christology, or a supplementary written revelation beyond the Bible. Ho. Now, let's read that statement and think about it. You know, a lot of people get information and they never analyze it. Supplementary written revelation beyond the Bible. The Catholics say they could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without the Bible. Now, how can you do that when you reject all of his words? And they supplement it with what? Their catechism. Their church teachings. How can they be Christian? And what do the Protestants do? Well, they stand up in a pulpit and announce right away, the law is done away. The Old Testament has been fulfilled. How can they be Christian? Then you have those say, you don't have to keep the commandments. You just do what you feel good is in your heart. Is that what Jesus said? How can they be Christian? So, They compare the 2.3 billion Christians to the other religions. 1.5 billion Muslims, 950 million Hindus, 468 million Buddhists, 458 million Chinese folk religionists, 137 million atheists, whose numbers have actually dropped over the past decade. Well, that's interesting. But what do they believe in? Here's another striking piece of information. As of mid-2011, there will be an average of 80,000 new Christians per day. Whoa! That's a lot. Of whom, 31,000 will be Catholic, 79,000 new Muslims per day, but fewer than 300 atheists every 24 hours. So we need to analyze. We need to think. We need to use the Bible so we can understand the truth. Because all of these statistics are talking about those who profess to be Christian, are brought into a Christianity setting by professing Christ. But the question is, are they true Christians? What is the Bible test as to who a true Christian really is? Do you know? All right, let's read a few more statistics here. Africa has had the most growth in the past century. There were 8.7 million African Christians in 1900, primarily in Egypt, Ethiopia, and South Africa. There are 475 million African Christians today, and their numbers are projected to reach 670 million by 2020. Another astonishing growth spurt, measured typographically, has been among Pentecostals and Charismatics. In 1900, there were 981,000, and in 2011, 612,472,000. With an average of 37,000 new adherents every day, the fastest growth in two millennia in Christian history. Isn't that something? Pentecostalism is based on emotionalism. Have you ever been to a Pentecostal meeting? Do you know why you're supposed to be a true Christian? Do you know why you are born? Do you know God's plan? Do you know that it's all contained in the Bible, and that's why we have church at home, so you won't be distracted by all of these false churches out there who profess a Christ, profess Christianity, but they do not have the fruits of the Spirit nor the works of a Christian. Now, people don't like that kind of language because we're supposed to be nice and loving and kind. Yes, you are to love God. Yes, you are to be loving. Yes, you are to be kind, but there is a false counterfeit for everything that Satan, the devil, who's deceiving this world, has brought upon this world, and most people are following a false and fake Christianity. Well, they're good people. Really? Did you know that God requires every single human being on earth to adhere to his Ten Commandments, at least in the letter of the law? Never thought about that, huh? All right. Let's look at some more statistics here. $545 billion is given to Christian causes annually, which comes out to $1.5 billion per day. There are some 600 million computers in Christian use, up from 1,000 in 1970. 71,425,000 Bibles will be distributed this year, and some 2 billion people will tune in at least once a month to Christian radio or television. 7.1 million books about Christianity will be published this year, compared to 1.8 million in 1970. Sounds like Christ is conquering the world. Really? Let's see what Jesus said. Since we're living in the end times, let's come to Luke, the 18th chapter. Let's see what Jesus said. Luke 18 and verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, because Jesus is returning, he is coming back to this earth as a conquering Lord of lords and King of kings. And his return is going to be awesome. And the whole world and all of these Christian denominations will fight against him because they're not Christian. Notice what Jesus said. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the true faith in the earth? Well, no. No. What did you say in Matthew 24? He said, because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Does that sound like a conquering by Christian truth? Because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, since we're here in the book of Luke, let's come back to chapter 12 here for just a minute, and let's see what Jesus said. Let's see what he said concerning his church, because there is the true church of God, and that true church of God is not a single organization. And by the way, an organization cannot save. Attending a church does not ensure salvation. God wants a personal relationship with you. Now let's read it here. Luke 12 and verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Do you know what the kingdom of God is going to do? Do you know when the kingdom of God is going to come? Do you know how to enter into the kingdom of God? He says, seek it first. Is that what you are doing? Do you suppose that the man who said that he goes to the Catholic Church twice a year, never reads the Bible, believes what he hears, and is convinced in his heart that when he dies, poof, his soul goes to heaven? You think he's seeking the kingdom of God? How do you seek the kingdom of God? Well, we'll cover that in some segments as we go along. Now, verse 32. Here's what he told his disciples, and I want you to think about this. You go through and you read the Gospels, and you can download a digital version of the Harmony of the Gospels right from this website, Church at Home. And you read through all the healings that Jesus did, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Now, he was the Lord God, manifested in the flesh, the Savior of man. After 3.5 years of preaching, he had 12 apostles. One of them was a betrayer. Later, he was replaced by Matthias. And you know, including the apostles, the total number of believers as a result of Jesus' preaching was 120. Now, does that sound like it's conquering the world? No, because Jesus says here, verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, little flock. How can a third of the population of the world be a little flock? Do you think about that? And how can a third of the population be right? Now, we'll read something else in just a little bit here. Now, I'm saying these things not to anger you, but I'm saying these things not to look down on people, but to provoke you to desire the truth. What is it that needs to be done for you to honestly, honestly look at what the Bible says and believe it and live by it? That's why. The Bible says Satan the devil has deceived the whole world, and he's got thousands of counterfeit Christian churches in the world because he's the God of this world, and he brings another Jesus Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Now let's come to the book of Matthew and let's read something else. Very interesting thing. Well, I'm going to run down and ask my pastor at my Sunday-keeping church what he thinks about all of this. Now here's Jesus' prayer. Verse 25, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to babes. What do you know about that? Look at all of the great theologians. Let's just give you one little test commandment to try on for size. The fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And if you don't have the booklet, Sabbath Sunday Challenge, you have never heard a warning from the enemy. If they say that Sunday is the day to worship on and call themselves Christians, you can be guaranteed they're not. Reveal them to babes. What is a Christian babe? One who loves God, follows what he teaches, keeps the commandments of God, and is seeking first the kingdom of God. That means the world leaders do not know. That means the leading theologians in the world do not know. That means that the so-called Christian organizations of this world, since they do not keep the commandments of God, do not know. They have a form of Christianity. They profess his name. But we'll see what Jesus says about that a little later here. Notice what else Jesus said. Yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. It's hidden from those. Oh, they hear the words, but they won't do them. They read the words, but they don't understand them. Why? Because they're unwilling to repent and obey. Now let's read what Jesus said here. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. You see, the way God works is with his Spirit. Now, when we come to the next segment, we're going to go to some scriptures that we've gone to before. And I want you to think about them. And I want you to consider what Jesus is saying. And I also want you to understand something very, very important. Everything that Jesus taught came from God the Father, the great sovereign of the whole universe. It's not just the ideas of some men. And if you get the Holy Bible in its original order and read about how the Bible was written and canonized, you will understand that these are not the writings of men from their own minds, but inspired by God. And therefore, whoever has a Bible has a witness against them in their very own home. Have you read it? Do you believe it? Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking the true Jesus? Are you praying to God to give you understanding, to see the truth from the error? All of those things are necessary today because there's only one kind of Christian, and we'll save that for the next segment. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and we have hundreds of sermons and a lot of things you can download. And also on the homepage at Church at Home, we have articles, we have booklets, and there is one book you need to download the whole thing called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And that will knock your socks off when you read it to understand how far back all of this false religion goes. It is simply amazing. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.